I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. You go right, you go
right, you go left, you go right. Oh, it's our song. It's Touché. It's Monday nights, and we're talking politics here on The Download. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy in studio tonight. After they've been all over the country in the last couple of weeks for political conventions, vacations, all that kind of stuff. But they're here together tonight, and what
together,
a Monday.
What
a Monday to come together, too, after a very busy week of national politics. Why don't we start with you, Dave? You were in Philadelphia. You came off the convention. Did you feel like the convention went well for you?
No, God, worst convention ever.
Of course it went well. It was phenomenal.
No, I've been to several conventions, and this was by far the best. It was the best in terms of prosecuting a message. It was the best in terms of the choreography between all the different elements. Most of the speeches were great, or at least really good. That preacher, I forgot his name, the guy from North Carolina, the guy was as big as a house.
Yeah, right,
he comes lumbering in, and you're like, okay, what's this going to be? And oh my God, he set the place on fire. It was phenomenal. My favorite speeches were Bloomberg and Michelle. And Joe Biden.
I can hear Chris audibly sighing in the back on the microphone. You know what? I talked to you enough. I talked to you all week. Chris, I didn't give you a chance. What do you think of the Democratic National Convention?
You know, it was a nice picture. It was a nice picture, and it looked good, sounded good, and all that kind of stuff. I think the substance is absolutely inane. It's sad. It's really sad to see a major...
Hashtag sad?
I don't know. Hashtag, what are you talking about? But I'm just saying I'm emotionally disappointed as a kid who was raised a Democrat, you know, long Democrat record in my family. And I just think the party is so little compared to what it once was. But the Republican Party is pretty screwed up, too.
Well, let's talk about the Republican Party, because a lot of divisiveness after this weekend, where the Republican nominee, Donald Trump, seemed to go out of his way to fight with the Kahn family, family that was on stage at the Democratic National Convention talking about sacrifice. Their son was.
So let's say Democrats are brilliant. They baited him into this and he fell for it.
Really? Do you think that it was they knew that he would...
David takes the absolutely ridiculous position that he was baiting people into a fight back at UIC Pavilion.
Yeah, Bruce Dumont agrees with me.
I know. David, Bruce agrees with you in that ridiculous position.
And Joe Scarborough and a lot of people.
But the truth is, that didn't happen. And I don't think they were baiting him into this, but he fell for it anyway. And it's awful. It's a total waste of news cycles. And of course, on the merits, it's entirely wrong, because what you say to people who've lost children in the defense of this country and its allies is thank you, and I'm sorry for your loss. And you move on, even if they've stood up in front of a national TV audience and said a couple of nasty things about you, as Mr. Kahn did, but that's his right. He's entitled to his opinion. And if you're Donald Trump, you say thank you, I'm sorry for your
loss.
Let
me ask you this. Today on Facebook, you posted a letter that you sent to Donald Trump through the website.
Yes.
So tell us what this letter was.
My letter says, you know, shape up or you're going to lose. My letter says, you know, zip it or you're going to give this thing to Hillary. I cited Doug Schoen, who had a fantastic analysis over the weekend in the Wall Street Journal, saying that even with Hillary's good convention that David is so enthusiastic about, rightly, the dynamic in the race is still favoring Trump. And Doug Schoen, not a Republican, not a Tea Partier, he's a Democrat, very senior consultant and pollster and a brilliant guy. And anyway, but that doesn't matter, because I think at some point Trump goes over some invisible line. We all thought he was crossing invisible lines 11 months ago, 13 months ago, 9 months, whatever. But eventually he might actually cross one, and this thing might go into Hillary's hands for no good reason. And the amazing thing is he's still competitive in Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan.
No, he's not.
Well, he is.
Chris, let me make a transition here, because you know, the letter got favorable reviews from both sides of the aisle. People said, thanks for sending that. Essentially, the sum it up so Dave can respond. this is yours to lose, Donald Trump, and you're losing because you're not keeping your eye on the ball.
Because you're talking,
you're distracting
yourself. You're getting into a fight you should never in the world get into, and because you're not talking about your three issues and your three areas of conversation. Number one, the failures of Obama. Number two, the scandals of Hillary. And number three, your specific plans for getting us to a better tomorrow.
Dave Lundy, do you have a problem with Chris's letter to Trump?
No, I have no problem with Chris's letter
Dave
to Trump.
I think Chris's
letter to Trump is great. I particularly like the part where he takes Paul Manafort to task.
Yeah.
You know, this issue, which the listeners heard me say this after the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, after the DNC hack came out. I said the larger issue is not going to be Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the titillation in those email. It's going to be Russian interference with U.S. elections. And Donald Trump and Paul Manafort have both now gone on national television repeatedly and lied their butts off. They've lied about the connections to Russia. Trump said, I have no connections to Russia. These have been well documented in the past. There are more that are going to come out. Paul Manafort says there's no connection to Russia. And then they both converge on the silly point that the important language in the Republican platform that called for lethal weapons in defense of Ukraine got removed, not by them, but by some mysterious force that just happened to water it down. And Paul Manafort, who's represented the government of the pro-Russian government of Ukraine for more than a decade and various other Russian interests, denies that he has anything to do with it. Come on. How stupid are
we? Is this an issue
for
Republicans? Is this an issue of the Russian
Paul Manafort's professional connections to a variety of currents and office holders in Eastern Europe is probably a rich minefield for investigative reporters. It's not necessarily top of mind for, you know, Sally Bag of Donuts on a on some kind of.
Hey, I know Sally. She lives on my block.
On some kind of diner, you know, diner seat in Teaneck, New Jersey. But what matters here is that Paul Manafort is the insider's insider. I met Paul. I worked with him 36 years ago, and I've known him off and on when I was still in Washington until about 85, 90. I saw him frequently. He is the insider's insider, and he has not one shred of interest in reforming anything within
the
Beltway.
And that's what Donald Trump seems to be
running
on.
But Donald Trump,
right,
and all of these nice people who are misguided or not, depending on your viewpoint, I think that they're people who are genuinely frustrated with the American political system as it is. Those people put their trust in Trump. Trump said, I am not part of the problem. I will go there and clean the Augean stable. Okay? They said, you're our guy. And we're going to ignore Marco or Jeb or Ted Cruz or John Kasich. We're ignoring them to go with you because you'll clean it up. Mm-hmm. Now his ambassador to the Sunday morning talk shows is Paul Manafort, who doesn't draw a breath without living and benefiting inside that Beltway world. And so it's an exact 180 degree polar opposite of what
is that going to make a difference to, like you just said, to Sally Bag of Donuts? Is she going to pay attention to that part of it?
I think where it starts to make a difference, first of all, it starts to make a difference in credibility. As you're looking forward, you know, it's not that long ago we had a Cold War. And you're talking of, and Mitt Romney in 2012 said to the derision of a lot of people that Russia was our number one global adversary.
He was derided by Barack Obama.
Sure.
For saying that. Now Democrats have discovered that Russia is antagonistic.
I wouldn't even, frankly, I still wouldn't say he's our number one global adversary. I'd put that at ISIS. Nonetheless, Russia is clearly a global adversary. They're meddling in our elections. They're being enabled by a candidate who demonstrated so much ignorance yesterday. I have to tell you, the This Week interview with George Stephanopoulos was the single worst interview in the history of American politics by a major party candidate, and I include Sarah Palin in that mix.
I've got to
see
that.
This was worse.
I've got to see it. But I want to say,
worse than,
it's amazing. David and
Katie
all
Kirk.
David and the Democrats are delighted to discover Russia.
I'm a Soviet studies major. I discovered it a long time ago.
Okay, so you have discovered Russia, but what you haven't discovered is that
and I can't see it from my house.
Do you know that I walked to Russia?
I do know that. You've told me the story.
Here we go. We're devolving.
Forget it.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
No,
hold on. Let me take a break. Let me take a quick break. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, Touche. Before we get to walk into Russia stories, let's take a quick break here on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay. I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
It's amazing.
I'm going left.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, WGN Radio. All Touche. Right. All right, Chris, pick it back up.
So Hillary, so David and the Democrats have discovered Russia, and yet they forget to mention the fact that when Hillary was there using her unsecure BlackBerry, she was giving away secrets to the Russians the entire time. Number one. Number two, if you go back to the Clinton Foundation and you look at the amount of money that was spent by people contributing to the Clinton Foundation, you will find, and this is laid out in excruciating detail in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere, that the Clintons engineered the Putin-backed Russian takeover of the global uranium market. And number three, as is painfully recited in today's Wall Street Journal, Hillary Clinton and Vladimir Putin got a deal going for technology transfers to Russia at the expense of the United States national defense and Western interests because of a so-called research institute.
Okay,
and finally, Hillary was on the grassy knoll.
Hillary was not on the grassy knoll. Okay, this stuff is real, and she is accountable for it.
Okay, fine.
And she has a soft spot, and she never effectuated any kind of reset with Russia.
Dave, why do you think?
And the Democrats
let me ask this. This is important because I would say that right now all eyes on Donald Trump's relationship with Russia, and he's running against a former Secretary of State who has on the record official relationships with Russia.
Yes.
I find that a little bit ironic in the way that she and her record and her reputation is getting glossed over for what we think Donald Trump has to do with Russia.
Well, here's the thing, Justin. When you stand on a street corner and you pour gasoline on yourself and you light yourself on fire, people are going to pay more attention to you than the guy robbing the bank across the street. That's just how it works in this world. So not that Hillary.
So Hillary's okay.
No. So look.
Wait, is she the bank robber
or
the self-immolating Buddhist monk? Where are we? 1965?
This weekend saw the self-immolation of Donald Trump and the gasoline was poured on the fire by Paul Manafort.
Can he recover? Can he recover? Can Donald Trump?
And despite North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida, Trump remains competitive. Trump is still within a margin of error on the average of polls.
No,
from real
he's
clear
not.
Politics.
Not once you have all the polls that came out today. No, he's not.
I'm sorry.
CBS 7 points. CNN 9 points. There have been many polls that have come out in the last 24 hours, all of which show either a modest or a huge bump for Hillary. And states like Pennsylvania, there have been several consecutive polls showing that state
now,
at 9 points.
Let me hold you to what you told us on Touche 2 weeks ago.
What did I tell you?
I'm not going to pay attention to polls after
until after the election.
Yeah, but
until after the convention.
Yeah, but to say today is the convention. This is the bump from the DNC.
No, this is what I said. I said wait until you see the post convention polls, because you're going to set the race kind of in loose stone right now, because you're going to have the Olympics coming up, and then nothing's going to really change much until the debates. So you're now establishing a mindset, and the con thing is establishing a horrible mindset for Donald Trump. And for the record, I also said on the show that I predicted the post-convention bump was going to, that Hillary was going to be up net 6-9 by the time the second convention ran around, and she's up by 7 or 9, depending on which poll. Just saying.
All right, so the other things that are percolating, one with the polls that came out today, the independent vote, a pretty substantial early poll for some of the other candidates, including Gary Johnson and Jill Stein. Is that just early kind of stuff where people are doing that because they don't want either candidate? Do you see that Hillary or Donald Trump fighting for those numbers?
I think that those numbers are going to continue. I mean, look, the reality is I like Hillary, but a lot of America doesn't. Right now, this is the most against the other election ever. Ever, at least in my lifetime. Everybody is voting for the lesser. They're looking at the lesser of two evils.
But hang on one second. We have two candidates who are extraordinarily
individually negatives.
They have extraordinary aspects of unpopularity.
But the problem with the independents is that sooner or later you have to actually look at the independents. And Jill Stein is saying she's an anti-vaxxer. She's saying all kinds of weird stuff. That one's not going to go anywhere. Gary Johnson, if the Gary Johnson Bill Weld ticket was reversed, I would think that they could actually really achieve something and really move forward. Gary Johnson comes across as just a wee bit too quirky.
Well, I think that it's a fluid situation and it is not yet set in stone. I think David wants it to be, but it's not.
No,
and
it's not
in stone.
The truth
is, it is not in stone. And the truth is that, and I, you know, I, David has got to stick to his talking points, I understand, because the Democrats walk lockstep. But the fact is that after the
what a
crazy,
novel concept.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously do not,
as opposed to a party that has no talking points whatsoever.
I have never gotten a talking point from anybody, yeah. And I'm still
nor
here
have
somehow,
I.
But I do want to say, as horrible as these gaffes by Trump have been, each in their own way, like when he attacks John McCain as a quote loser, right? My God.
And the McCain statement today was really
powerful. Terrific, yeah. But as bad as all of those have been, Trump is still...
It's amazing, yeah.
Maybe he's 6 points. Let's grant David's point. Let's say he's 6 points away. How weak a candidate is Hillary Clinton that he is only six
points back?
Can I ask
a question? And not to say that Donald Trump doesn't have a shot in this election, because obviously
Thank you. Because I want to keep coming in here on Monday
night. Right. But is there a way that, let's say that Donald Trump loses in November, that this entire election brought to the attention to the insiders, the political insiders, a disdain in this country for the way our system is? Will
they
it
don't
change?
Care.
But will it change the way Congress? There won't be as much stymied and congressional
gridlock.
Based on the fact that they know that there is an electorate out there that is upset and came close to changing the entire way our system works?
No. And the party that is right now having the greatest difficulty with these folks are the Republicans, because they cultivated them for years and years and years. I was just listening to Colin Powell's former chief of staff on MSNBC right now. He said the problem is the Republican Party itself that has created this culture of
no-nothingness. No. I want to tell you, people deserve governments that are responsive to them. They deserve that, okay? And I'm going to give you an example here in Illinois. We had 2 years ago a series of scandals at the College of DuPage, and people said, this is an outrage. We don't want to stand for this. And three or four people got together out there, and they said, we are going to run, and we're going to run as a team, and when we get elected, we're going to do X, Y, Z, A, B, C, and we're going to end all this acceptance of the corruption out here, okay? And they held the election in April of 2015. Those four people won, and they then went into office and they did X, Y, Z, A, B, C. And the people out there are ecstatic about it. But in Congress, there is no accountability. You know, you elect 435 members of Congress, you elect 100 senators. Who are you going to blame? And so voters have got to stay tuned in and get rid of folks who don't do what they promise, whether they're Democrats or Republicans.
Dave, last word real quick.
We're going to win.
Hey, they're clapping.
Oh, sorry.
People are clapping.
No, look, the polls, the polls are growing. If you had an up arrow and a down arrow right now, and Chris knows this full well, his candidate's got a huge down arrow, because what he did this weekend lays the groundwork for disaster. I think we have hit that point. And whereas Hillary... she screwed up this weekend. She had a horrible interview, or she had a good most of interview, but then she said something stupid on Fox News Sunday, and nobody noticed.
Nobody even noticed.
What stupid
well,
thing did
we
say?
Got it. We got
I'm
a
not
wrap.
Telling.
Let's have another segment.
Next week, we'll see. I'm not telling. That's the new name of Touche. We're going to switch it to I'm not telling. Dave Lundy and Chris Roland, good to see you. See you next Monday.
See ya.
Touché.